You've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? Our aim is to point you to Jesus. Your investment in His Will Ministry helps to spread God's Word around the world through this radio program and other outreaches. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org. Or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you, and here's Pastor Warner.
I want to talk about worship. I want to talk about being thirsty. How many of you are truly thirsty for the Lord? Well, I would like to have seen every hand go shooting up, people jumping up and down saying amen, but hey, that's enough hands to get me started here, so you guys are in trouble. Let's go look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And actually, I think I want to start before verse 12. I think I wrote down 12, but I want to start at about 11. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's start at, let's go all the way back up to 10. Of this salvation and prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now, if that leaves you a little bit on the offside and you're not quite sure what Peter's talking about all the prophets that came before. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Hosea, Isaiah, on and on and on. How they, if you study the Old Testament, you will see that the Holy Ghost did not live in them. The Holy Ghost came to them. Okay? We're told we're temples of God. The Holy Spirit, when we become Christian, lives in us. But in those days, you study your Old Testament, you will see, they say, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. Now, there are a few, like David, that it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and resided with him. But most of the prophets, you will see, the Word of the Lord came to me. The Spirit of the Word came to me. The Spirit of the Lord came. They didn't have, except for a couple of them, like Elijah and Elisha, they didn't have this constant influx. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them when they needed it, and then it was gone. Came upon them when they needed it, it was gone. And that's what Peter's saying here. He's saying that these people were prophesying. They were saying, here's what's going to happen in the future, and they wanted to know when. They didn't know when. God gave them the knowledge to prophesy, but didn't tell them when it was going to happen. Now think of how frustrating that had to have been. Especially with some of the major prophecies about Jesus that David gave, that Isaiah gives, that they never knew when they were going to be fulfilled. They were seeking them to be fulfilled. Then he goes on to say in verse 12, to them it was revealed that not themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Now, how many people ever thought about it, but angels have no idea what salvation means? Why would an angel have any comprehension of what is needed for salvation? Do they need salvation? No. They've never sinned. So can't you picture the curiosity of angels? God, I think, was showing me something today because Mary and I are always talking about when we get raptured or when we die, who are we going to go talk to first? Well, she's going to be standing in a line with 400 billion people to see Jesus. Me, I always thought, no, I'm going to want to go see Peter and ask him why. Why did you take your eyes off Jesus and sink? Why did you let the devil creep into you and deny him? Why? But the Lord was saying, you don't understand. When you arrive, you're probably going to be surrounded by angels asking you the same questions. What was it like to have Jesus die for you? What was it like to know that He shed His blood for you? What was it like to have that one-on-one relationship with Him even though you weren't here? Think about it. They don't understand those things. They're going to be curious about why. And that's what Paul says. Things of which angels desire to look into. Just like the prophets of old. Think about how the prophets of old that are up there now that know all the truth. How do you think it's going to be when Elijah walks up to you, Scott, and says, "Man, Scott, how did it feel to live in that time when those prophecies were true and you knew what they meant? And how did it feel to know that Jesus died for you?" You know, I can just picture that. They're going to be, you know, those prophets are going to be asking us questions like we're asking them. But the angels even desire to know. So think about it. That should be one of our prime things. Desire to know. You know, I haven't been given great prophecies from the Lord. I haven't been given the honor to walk out and speak a great word from the Lord that's never been spoken before. But I can just have that desire to have the knowledge. Every time I open up this book, the Lord says to me, "Here, study this." And my eyes are opened. I suddenly, "Man, I've read that verse 150,000 times, Lord. Why do you want me to read that verse again, Lord? I know that verse by heart, Lord." And the Lord says, "Read it again, Jay." And I sit down and read it again, and it's like suddenly the Holy Ghost just walks through my brain and sweeps out all the cobwebs and says, "Here's what it's supposed to mean." And I'm like, "Wow!" Now, hadn't that happened to you? The desire. Because if it hasn't happened to you, you're not desiring it enough. What you felt today, I hope you felt it. I did. And at least two other people felt it. It's called the Holy Ghost. When was the last time He showed up in church? He should be here every Sunday. He should be here before the preacher gets here. He's the one that should control it. You know, everybody says, "Oh, Holy Ghost, I want You to come into my life and I want You to reside in me." Get it right. You see this suit jacket I'm wearing? That should be you. This should be the Holy Ghost and this should be you. Amen. The Holy Ghost should wear you like you're a coat and take you where He wants you to go and do with you what He wants you to do. Shouldn't be the other way around. I shouldn't be wearing the Holy Ghost and taking Him where Jay wants to go. The Holy Ghost should be wearing me, and wherever He pleases, I have to follow. Think about it. How many times has your coat, the sleeve, just suddenly grabbed you out in the blue and dragged you somewhere? It just don't happen. I'll tell you what, the day my clothes start walking for me, they're out of here. I'm getting rid of those clothes. But that's the way our life in the Holy Ghost should be. Not stuck in here, but should be the whole thing with the coat being us. And the Holy Coat directs us. Anybody catch that? The Holy Coat? The reason I say that is there is actually, because of the transfer of mantles, if you ever read like the transfer of Elijah's to Elijah's, or from Elijah to Elijah, the mantle was his coat. And there are actually preachers out there that believe that your garments are anointed. That if you don't wear your holy coat, it can't happen. And we won't go into some of the other religious beliefs about holy other garments. I'm being good. I'm being good. It's hard for me. You guys ought to know that by now. So, think of the Holy Spirit not as in you, but as you, and you as your garment being worn by it. See, if that's the way you think, then you can do nothing out of the Lord's will. Because you're just this flimsy little thing hung over the Holy Ghost. And it's hard for that flimsy little thing to have the power to drive you in and out of bad things, isn't it? That's what it means by having the power of God consume you. How many of you have a desire for a closer relationship with Jesus? Well, that's about half of us. The hands went up. I want to get you to all of you. There's a song written by Michael W. Smith, and Scott knows this one because he's got the CD. It's called "The Air I Breathe." And the words are, "This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. And I am desperate for you. I am desperate for you." See, that's to be our lives. We have a physical life, a heart that beats, lungs that breathe air. But as the Lord said, what does it matter if we have the whole world and lose our soul? What does it matter if I'm the healthiest guy at the gym if my whole spirit is rotting? What does it matter if I have all the money in this valley but not Jesus? See, our whole purpose in this world for the Lord is twofold. It's to worship Him, to honor and praise and worship Him, and to be fruitful. What does Jesus say? The vine that does not produce fruit will be cut down and burned. Luckily, He's nice. He says, well, first it'll be pruned. Then if it doesn't produce fruit. And He even tells the story of where he's asked by the master, saying, oh, well, let's just plow under that whole vineyard because it's been there 2.5 years and it hasn't produced a single grape. What's the master say? Nah, give it a little more time, maybe next year. Prune it, water it, fertilize it, and maybe next year. See, that's the kind of God we have. If you don't produce fruit right now, He still expects that fruit to be produced. He still wants that fruit to be produced. He still wants you to be a productive member, not of society, but to be a productive member of the body of Christ. Let's look at what David, and let's face it, if anybody knew how to worship, it had to be David. This is a fellow that when he brought the tabernacle back, hired singers to praise and worship 24 hours a day around the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, wouldn't that be great to have people here in this building 24 hours a day that all they did was sing praises and worship God? Wouldn't it be great to have a prayer room upstairs where all they did 24 hours a day, people take turns praying over this building? I guarantee you do that. You guys will have so much problem keeping up with the people that are coming in, you won't know what to do. The story I love, Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in Brooklyn, New York. He wasn't even a pastor. Jim Sumbala was not even a pastor, but his father-in-law said, hey, this church is dying. You need to come over here and take care of it for me. So he went over there. After about 3 months of going from 5 to 20 to 5 to 20, 5 to 20, back to 5, he was so depressed about it, he was ready to quit. But the church loved him so much, they sent him on a trip to just have a little time off and a fishing trip. And while he was looking for Lord came up to him and said, you know, you want anything to happen, you got to pray. But if your people will humble themselves and pray to me and ask me, I'll do something there. So he came back. First sermon back and says, I'm going to tell you right now, you got a choice and this isn't going to be a popular one. You guys start praying corporate in this body and praying for this church or we're dead and I'm out. So they started praying. That church now is so large that it's sent out 3 new churches. The building has been expanded like 5 times to hold the people in it. They have an upstairs prayer room that's 24 hours a day, prayer warriors praying. His wife, who can't read a single note of music, has probably 30 CDs out of praise music from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, which is made up of people that can't read music. Every time someone walks through that door with a problem, they take them up to the prayer room and just sit them there. They give them their problem and the prayer warriors surround them and just start praying. That's what God does when we are thirsty. Look what David says. Psalms, book 2, Psalm 42, verse 1. I'll give you a second to get there. Psalms 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for you, God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they continually say to me, where is your God? How many times have you heard that? How many times after 9-1-1 did you hear, where was your God? Where is God? Why did God let this happen? Did you ever look them in the eye and say, hey, on the normal day, those towers have 40,000 human beings in them. One-tenth was taken only. That's where my God was. He was in heaven where He always is. And He could have allowed 40,000 people to perish, plus on the ground that day. And He only allowed a little over 4,000. And two pieces of building that we didn't need in the first place. Where is my God? What does David say here? As the deer pants for the water's brook. You guys, there's a lot of hunters in here. Hunters know one of the places that you can usually find deer and antelope and elk are around places of water and food, isn't it? When deer, I work out in the deserts up there, what they call the northern deserts of Wyoming, and I see the lopes out there, and I see them a lot of times just looking for a little hole to drink a little water out of. Their instincts tell them they have to have that, doesn't it? And David's comparing that absolute need for life with himself. He says, as the deer pants for water brooks, which means as the deer needs that water to survive, my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Now, how many of you, when you get thirsty, you go to the sink and pour out a glass of water, you open the refrigerator, get a pop, and your thirst is fixed, just like that? But do you thirst for God? It's not, do you just want a relationship with God? Do you just want to pray with God? Do you want to just say, hey, God, I need this today and I need it now? Do you thirst? Does your soul, does your spirit deep inside have that hunger and thirst that it is a lifeline that has to be filled? You want the Holy Spirit to come down? You want to have worship? You've got to have that thirst. If you don't have that thirst, it won't happen. David, throughout Psalms, and we'll read a couple more. Let's look at 63:1. Verse 60, I should have left this open to Psalms. Verse 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. 63, verse 1, I believe. Yes. O God, You are my God. Early I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a day dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. See, now David kind of expands it. He says, my soul thirsts. My flesh longs. Why would our flesh long for the Lord? And he puts it as in a dry and thirsty land. You know, I used to work in the deserts as a young man. And I would take a canteen of water. And I would be out in those deserts in 100-degree weather for a whole day with like a quart of water. And by the end of the day, I would literally be dying of thirst. But I knew that in the back of my truck was an ice chest that had started out as ice. But by the end of the day, when I got there, 8 or 9 or 10 hours later, I had 2 gallons of cold water just sitting there waiting for me. And I knew it was there. So I knew that I could carry just a quart of water and be out in that desert all day long because I knew that water would be waiting for me. And see, that's what David's saying. I thirst as if in a dry and thirsty land because I know that I will be quenched. His flesh longs. Well, why would our flesh long? Well, come on, let's look at the world. Turn on your TV set. Soap operas, Fear Factor, movies that you don't want to watch. The flesh longs for the purification of the Spirit of God. That's why I say we should have the Spirit wear us like this coat, because our flesh wants a relief. Our flesh is tired. Our flesh is broken down by the chemicals in the air, the chemicals in the water, the chemicals in our food. Everything we do does one thing. Wears us out. From the day you're born to the day you die, everything you do wears out. It wears a little bit more on my arm every time I pick it up and down. It wears a little bit more on my knee joints every time I walk. So this flesh should be longing for the Lord. You should be thirsting desperately for that personal one-on-one communication. But you should also, your physical body should be longing for the day that you go home to the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here. He's saying, I long to see your power and your glory because your loving kindness is better than life. Think about it. If that's not the attitude we have, then we're missing something. Jesus came down to save, but he didn't come down to create a meteoric race of Christians that don't want any more than just church on Sunday mornings and a meteoric life. You know, God took Mary and I out of a meteoric life of me being a part-time pastor in the evenings in different churches, set us out in the wilderness for 7 years, and said, I'm going to instruct you and teach you. And we used to have a life where we would get off and we'd have 2 to 3 days off a week, and then we'd go out in the desert and we'd camp and we had a normal life. The Lord picked up these old bodies and He said, now I'm going to put you to work. And He keeps us going. My wife, she's 48 years old. She's like me. We're overweight. Big deal. Don't say it, Jake. But when she had problems months ago, they did her blood work. Do you know her cholesterol is 1 point above normal? Her enzymes, everything is normal. Now, according to all the doctors that they are, we don't get to the gym as often as we should. We don't eat the way we should. We don't rest the way we should. We should be dead. In fact, we had a doctor tell us. When she was in there, the doctor said, statistically, 2 out of the 3 people in this room are going to die of massive heart attacks young. She was skinny. Guess who she was talking about? Yet we're healthier than she is. And there's only one reason. Our flesh and our spirits long and thirst for the Lord. You know, if you've got ailments in your body, take it to Him. And take it to Him. And take it to Him. Remember what He said about the widow and the judge? The judge was an unrighteous man. But the widow wouldn't give up. She just kept coming back and pestering. And pestering. And pestering. And finally the judge said, she's going to wear me down. I better give her what she wants. What did Jesus say? How much more does your Father love you? How much more? But we don't believe it. We say it, oh yeah, ask and ye shall receive. And then we don't get it. And then we say, oh yeah, ask and ye shall receive. And we don't get it. It's because we don't know how to work the system. I always hate saying it that way, but that's the bottom line. We don't know how to work the system. God set a system up here for us, and He has a way of doing it. He wants us to be thirsty for Him. He wants us to be hungry for Him. He wants us to seek Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will what? Be added unto you. Be given to you. He says, if we tithe, He will open the windows of heaven and pour them out on you. You don't get BMWs from heaven. You get spiritual things. If you're a tither, He's going to open up the spiritual gates of heaven and pour it upon your head. And you're going to know it. See, there's no power in the church today because we don't want it. Because if we get the power of the Holy Ghost, it's going to convict us. What happened when the apostles got the power? What happened when the Holy Ghost came down on Peter? What's the first thing he did? He got outside and started preaching. And obviously he wasn't too good at it because it says they knew that they were not learned men. So we look at Peter when he saved 3,000 people on that day, and then when he preached again and 5,000 were saved, and we look at Peter and we say, oh man, the Holy Ghost turned him into the greatest orator to ever walk the face of the earth. Wrong. The Holy Ghost gave him boldness to open his mouth, and the Holy Ghost did the rest of the work. So if you don't have the greatest ability to be an orator, don't blame it on God. Let the Holy Ghost do what He's supposed to do. Peter was an uneducated fisherman that became one of the great leaders of the church. Look what God had to do to Paul. Paul was an educated man. What did he say? I'm a Jew of all Jews. What did God do to him? He drove him down the opposite way and humbled him, didn't he? God uses the meek and the mild and the humble. Let's look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew 5, 6. This is commonly known as the Beatitudes or the Blessings. Blessed are those who hunger and what? Blessed are those in hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Does anybody believe that? This is the words of Jesus. And if you read the rest of these, He's talking about those that mourn, those that are weak, those that are poor, those that are pure in heart, those that are peacemakers. But what does He start out talking about? The people that have nothing. Those that are poor in spirit. Those that are mourning. Those that are meek and mild. Then He says, but blessed are those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness because they'll be filled. See, we have no excuse. We don't thirst enough. We're not hungry enough. Or we would be filled.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.